I think as we've figured out in this last decade, there have not been many technology breakthroughs, but there has been a breakthrough in how we use technology, and I call it the age of convergence.
Tell me about the age of convergence and how that has really prompted this move toward cybersecurity. Has it been, let's be secure so the bad guys don't get in, or has it been, oh my goodness, the bad guys can get in, we better be more secure?
It had nothing to do with security. I think it had to do with the rise of social networking and the mirroring of that with the horror of 9/11. And the horror of 9/11 is that many people found out that we knew information that could have prevented 9/11, but because we didn't share it, then something really bad happened.
Yeah.
Additionally, it was also the availability of data and our chance to search it. As you probably know, Google is just a little more than a decade old. It didn't go public till 04. And yet, the idea of readily available data and the ability to search data from all over the world, from almost any place in the world, has really changed how we think and look about it. And so if you look at this convergence, many of us carry what we call cell phones. How many of us actually use cell phones to talk? We use it to navigate. We use it to text. We use it to browse the internet. We use it for all kinds of things. And the younger you are, the less you use to talk.
And yet, I'm actually shocked, because we've done a lot of these conversations for this series, and you are the first person to mention Google and the power of search as something that has really come and just changed our relationship with data and information. All of a sudden, things that we had to search for or put in folders and all that kind of stuff, now we just search.
Not only that, but see the idea that the ability to search seems, it's like it's been here all the time.
Yeah.
And it hasn't. It's a decade old. And it's not only the ability to search and find out information, it's the ability to be exposed. You know, the element of, almost no, event goes unrecorded because everybody, and I forgot to mention, has a camera on their cell phone.
Yeah.
Again, another use for a cell phone that it was not really originally designed for.
And when you look at this, all this does have an impact on, I'm fascinated by how we are so dependent on this technology. And so what ends up happening is what I call the Trojan horse syndrome. Mm-hmm. People end up not taking on the military head on. They do look at these cyber attack ways of getting in, because that's a way that they see as a vulnerability, almost the military's Achilles heel, they hope.
Well, I don't know that I would call it an Achilles heel, other than to say that anytime you get a dependence, then you have a potential Achilles heel. And again, cyber is the asymmetric way in which somebody from a disadvantaged position, whether it's in business or military or government, can exercise power or influence on those that are in an advantaged position. And so the business of cybersecurity becomes a derivative of the capability that we're talking about in the first place.
So that's the age of convergence, and that has led to cybersecurity. Did the technology have to catch up for it to get to this point? Is that what we had to, wait for before this would happen?
I don't know that technology's caught up for anything. Look at a lot of the modern conveniences and things that are catchy, with regard to, what you find on a cell phone and even what we call it. For the most part, none of those are really new technologies. They may be refinements, but they're not new technologies. How we listen to music, how we communicate with folks. That's all been changed with this insatiable desire to share information.
It's interesting how the discussion around this has gone, and you had to deal with it at the intelligence community. You were right on the front lines with this, and there's so much concern around cybersecurity, around these collaborative networks such as Intellipedia. People saying if people are able to post all this information, it's not as secure. It's unsafe. And yet the real danger that we've seen, we have clear-cut evidence that if we don't share information, things like 9/11 happen. Bad things happen when we're not sharing information.
Yeah, absolutely. And in essence, what we're talking about is we're talking about prioritization. And so it's not capability at all costs, but it's capability at an acceptable risk. Whether you're an individual doing banking or e-commerce or online ordering, or you're the United States military and exercising command and control over forces and the movement of troops.
Talk a little bit about, because it seems like we're at this interesting nexus in how these collaborative technologies are coming together. It's difficult to stop them because people have access to them on their cell phones. If it gets blocked at work, they just go to their cell phones and do it. And it creates a very interesting management leadership challenge.
Oh, it does. And what happens is people don't intend to do harm, but when their organizations prevent them or stand in the way of them getting their job done easily, they'll do workarounds. They'll email themselves on their personal accounts. They'll move information to other networks and things like that. And so I think that many of our draconian policies that say thou shalt not or thou shalt this in organizations oftentimes works against the organization, and they only find out about it when they get exploited sometime later.
Is that a transition or a change that has not only been going on over the past 10 years, but that we can see further change in the next several years of how management and the leadership challenge, how they work together, how they have to come to some sort of happy medium, because the genie is out of the bottle. I mean,
no.
It is unstoppable.
Absolutely, Amy. If you think about it, just look at the demographics of managers and leaders, particularly in government, versus workers. You know, and you're talking about pre-Gen X, pre-Gen Y. Well, how do we look at the world? You give me a cell phone, I'm going to place a call. You give the cell phone to my daughter, she's going to text a message.
Yeah.
You know, and so we need to realize in management and leadership that there is maybe multiple generation gaps between us who are digital immigrants versus us born digital versus us raised digital versus a new generation which is coming on, which is those born digital to those born digital.
And I'm going to ask you to peer into your general. So I think when you retire, they give you this amazing crystal ball that allows you to predict the future.
No, what they do is they give you the amazing crystal ball that allows you to better understand all the things you should have done better.
There you go. Well, peer into that magic crystal ball and tell us, as things move forward, is this genie out of the bottle? Is this something that we're just going to have? If you're a manager and leader, you're going to have to figure out how to deal with this. The draconian measures just don't work, or is it something you can put the cap on?
Well, it is something you have to deal with. I think we're rapidly coming to a time when if you don't understand digital, then you can't be an effective leader. Because so much of our economy, so many of our government services all depend upon a technical understanding. You know, if you think about it, folks in antiquity, you know, could they drive a car? Could they understand, you know, the business about radio waves? Could they understand, you know, things of modern technology? The answer is no. Did that make them ineffective? No, that wasn't part of their environment. But it is part of the environment today. It is part of information is power, and leveraging information is conducive to you getting your mission done or you becoming more profitable as a corporation. And so this is something you have to deal with, and I don't think there's any turning back.